of questions. And there's a lot of darkness in there. I don't want to make my life-changing decisions by that. I don't know what to do. Follow your heart. Listen, when we follow our heart, basically we're following our emotions. We're following what we feel is right in the heat of the moment. And by the way, if you follow your heart, what you feel like you should do today typically will change tomorrow. But he says here, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. There's one small problem with following our heart. Would you like to look at the verse there in Jeremiah 17:9? Why don't we do that? It says the heart is what? Deceitful. What does deceitful mean? It lies. Do you know your heart lies to you? The heart is deceitful. It gets worse above all things. And desperately wicked. Now, I don't know about you. That sounds like a really bad combination. That's like bringing a guy in here and says, we just hired this guy on staff. Now, he's a good guy. He just has two flaws. Number one, he lies with the best of them. And number two, he's wicked. Other than that, he can be trusted. How many of you trust somebody like that? He's evil and he's wrong and he lies too. But we're going to follow our heart. Okay, you watch all that television stuff and the Disney movie. Just follow your heart. Let your heart decide. I let my heart decide anything. Because if my heart decides, I'm going to make some really bad decisions. See, our heart is wicked. And if it's unchecked by the Spirit of God and not filtered in by the Word of God, we are in for a bumpy ride. Don't let your emotions make your decision. Now, look at the flip side of the verse. The second part of the verse goes with it. So he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely. Okay, what do you mean walketh wisely? Obviously, he is not walking, which means living his life, based on his heart. He's doing it based on wisdom or wisely, which is basically following God and God's principles. What does it say? He shall be delivered. What does that mean? It's almost like a given that if we follow our own heart, we're going to be in trouble. But if we don't follow our own heart and we follow God's word, we're delivered from all that trouble that we would get into if we follow our heart. Don't follow your heart. Who's in charge? Well, the foolish man, he does that which is right in his own eyes. He's in charge. The wise man trusts the Lord with all his heart and leans not to his own understanding. Who are we following? Now, how does that apply to us? I don't think most of us live by our hearts, but I'll be honest with you. As Christians, sometimes we make decisions based on our heart. We follow our emotions, and we get in trouble. You know, Peter was a great, great, great apostle. He's one of the great guys in the New Testament. But Peter had one weakness, which most of us have. Occasionally, Peter just kind of laid it out there. Peter just kind of made a decision based on his heart. He went with it. Could you imagine? Jesus comes to him, to the disciples in the New Testament, and says, listen, I'm gonna go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be all this. And Peter has the audacity to pull Jesus aside and say, quit saying that. Now, Jesus? And Jesus had to get on him. When he was being arrested and Jesus had foretold all the things that were going to happen, he just grabs a sword and starts whacking people's ears off. That one I actually like. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to be arrested, and all of you are going to run away. Peter's, not me. Peter ran. And by the way, he cursed, he swore. So our emotions sometimes lead us astray. Look at Proverbs 18:2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Discover means vent out. In other words, they just shoot out everything that's in their heart. If our heart is desperately wicked and it's deceitful above all things, we might want to be careful spitting out the first thing that comes to mind. Are you with me? How many of you, let's be honest. Not that we wouldn't ever not be honest. Let's be honest. How many of you ever said something, something came up and you just, boom, you spouted it out. And as soon as you said it, it's like, oops. How many of you done that? Come on, let's be honest. The rest of you are liars. You're following your heart right now. That's how it is. But a fool doesn't care. My heart says, I just say what I feel. That's probably not good. Now, what are we supposed to do as Christians? Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard it. See, the heart's okay if we keep it under control. We guard what goes in. We're careful with our heart. And we guard it so that influences don't come in and cause us to follow our heart. But the foolish man trusteth in his heart, and he gets himself in all kinds of problems. Our heart is to be controlled. Our heart is not to be in control. When a person's heart's in control, they're like, the Bible talks about the double-minded man, unstable in everything they do. You ever meet someone like that? Man, well, people come to church and one day they are going to be a missionary to Antarctica. They are going to go to Baghdad and build the biggest church. And the next Sunday, they're not even in church. Up and down. We ought to stay on solid course. Number 20. The foolish man has trouble with his communication skills. The foolish man has trouble with his communication skills. Now, earlier, I believed, we looked at the problems that our words can cause us. But for the foolish man, it's a big problem. In what ways? Let me give you a couple. Letter A underneath that. Their lifestyle limits their usefulness in their speech. In other words, the way they live limits the influence that their words ought to have. The way a person lives is important. In the 90s, when President Clinton, and I hope we're never ever saying that again, President Clinton embarrassed the office of the president with the things that he did. And to say, well, it doesn't matter about his lifestyle as long as the economy is doing well. By the way, the economy did well when he was president because of the internet boom and the computer boom. It had nothing to do with him. He just went along for the ride. But he embarrassed the office. There was a magazine in back when he was president, or right when he was coming out of being president. Here's what his wife said about him and his morality. She said he's like an old dog. He's hard to keep on the porch. That's my president. A person's lifestyle backs up what they say and what they do. I don't want somebody with that kind of lifestyle making the decisions for our country. Decisions for anything. I have a hard time listening. We know all kinds of famous people that we allow. I'm sorry. Look, do we read the verse, Proverbs 17:7? I should have read the verse, sorry. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. In other words, like, for a fool to say something that actually makes sense and is excellent speech, it doesn't fit. That's what it is. We allow people, just because they can throw a football, just because they can shoot a basketball, just because they have a voice that can sing, unless they're a rapper, because you don't have to be able to sing to rap, all right? Or they're an actress or an actor, just because they can do that, we allow them influence in how we ought to live our lives. Most of those people, I'm not trying to be critical or mean here, they have the IQ of a plant. Not all of them, I'm not saying that. But here's somebody who has no morals, no nothing, but just because they're good at some secular deal that everybody falls over, we're going to allow them to tell us how to live? The speech that comes out of their mouth doesn't back up their lifestyle. Maybe we ought to ignore them. But we allow them influence. Wise speech doesn't fit them. It's like I've jokingly said before, you know, here's the guy that's been divorced 4 times telling someone how to have a good marriage. Here's the guy whose car doesn't run telling you what's wrong with your car. It's like the businessman who started a business and went bankrupt, and he's going to teach you how to have a successful business. No. What they say isn't backed up by their life, so we shouldn't listen to them. Letter B. Trusting them to communicate an important message is unwise. Proverbs 26:6 says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. getting someone, it almost goes back to what I just said about the athletes and all that, but getting someone who's a fool, but we want them to deliver a good message, you get burned every time. If we trust someone who's not wise, we're setting ourselves up. By the way, I don't get excited by you know, all these big-time actors and athletes who are Christians. Usually when someone who's a big-time person ends up saying they're a Christian, you almost need to realize they're going to let Christ down somewhere down the line. They are. You know, everybody likes Tim Tebow. Oh, he's Mr. Wholesome, and he's this, that, or the other. And there was a church in Dallas that they stood up, which shouldn't shock anybody, and said they're for traditional marriage. That's all they said. We believe marriage is like the Bible defined. It's a man and a woman. They were supposed, Tim Tebow was supposed to go to that church to speak. And when he heard that, he cut off his invitation and said, I'm not going. Because that's too controversial. Christian, my foot. I don't care if he wears a t-shirt, a cross, whatever. We always get, we let these people try to send the message, but if their life doesn't back it up, the message is polluted. How often are we going to get burned? We trust them to say something that'll be helpful. Look, Magic Johnson in the 90s got AIDS. And he started this crusade against AIDS. And there's a famous, he was at a school, and he was talking about how they can be careful that they don't get AIDS. And he said this. He said, the best way not to get AIDS is abstinence. That means boys and girls don't touch until you get married. And I'm like, that's good. But you know what the next statement out of his mouth was? But you're not going to listen to that, so don't worry about it. Just be safe. It's a fool. That's foolish. There was another group of guys in the 90s. They were called Athletes for Abstinence. And there was several high profile athletes. David Robinson was one. A.C. Green was one. Barry Sanders was one. And I forget who the others are. I don't know if I put them down. And they were a well-known group. And they were trying to be almost the anti-Magic Johnson by saying, no, you need to have abstinence. In fact, A.C. Green, who at that time was in his 30s, just like, I've never touched a girl. I'm going to wait till I get married. And they all said that. And it was a great, and they all claimed to be Christians. And maybe they are. And then about 6 or 7 months later, guess what? Barry Sanders' girlfriend was pregnant. He got called on the carpet by a secular radio show, and they said, what's that all about? You're athletes for abstinence, and your girlfriend's pregnant. What do you got to say about that? And he said, I've evolved in my beliefs. You see, you can't trust a fool to say something that's of any value. Someone's life has got to match it up. That's why the Bible talks about leadership in the church. You don't put a novice in place. You wait until someone's been solid in the Lord for a while. Because they'll say one thing and they'll go do something completely different and they tarnish the message. And it's very, very hurtful. So we must be very careful who we allow to influence us. Letter C. Also, they have to dominate the conversation and get everything out. Everything. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind. That probably doesn't take very long. But a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You see, there's no discretion in what they say. They just have to speak. They have to be heard. They're the ones that just, they're going to blurt everything out. They're not going to listen to anybody else. They try to dominate the conversation and get their point across, even if their point's wrong, just by sheer force of their personality. You ever meet someone like that? They're just gonna, they just like to, they're always gonna run their mouth so you can't get a word in edgewise, and they're wrong. Be very careful. And when a person's like that, we ought to take note that that person is a fool. Listen to what they say, not the abundance of their words. There's wisdom in silence and speaking only when it's helpful. Now, we all have those moments when we blurt. But the best thing to do is not to follow that first impulse. Think it through. Someone said this, and I wish I could find a verse in the Bible for this, but I haven't found one yet, but I'm sure it's in there. Maybe you can help me. They said, if you want to do the right thing in a tough situation, always do the opposite of the first thing that comes to your mind. Because what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's usually the flesh jumps up first and says, do this. The Spirit's like, calm down. Someone gets in your face, the first thing that usually comes to your mind is, you ain't talking to me like that. Then the Spirit says, a soft answer, what? Turneth away wrath. Now, we don't like that. We like the other thing. But we need to be careful. So take time to think through what you're going to say. By the way, especially in the society in which we live, if you ever watch, I don't listen to news much, but how many people get themselves in trouble because, you know, something happens, they got to jump on their tweet account and like, here's what I think. And it's like, as soon as you hit the send button, you're done. Someone's got that somewhere. Oops. You know, get on your little, oh, I said, shoot that email out. Get that text and you hit send. When you hit send, that means you are done. Okay, think through what you're going to say. Don't just always spit out the first thing. That leads us to the next one, letter D. They speak before they think. Same thing. They always have to say, and they speak before they think. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou man that is hasty in his words? I mean, he's quick to just throw them out there. There is more hope of a fool than of him. So, I mean, it's almost like he's like super fool. You know, he's worse than a fool. The fool has more hope than someone does that because he's a fool to the 20th level. Just always saying, you know, remember the ad campaign, think when you drink. By the way, that you can't. That's retarded. That's not good. The second you start to drink, your thinking capabilities go down. Say, how do you know that? My wife tells me. Okay? Well, how about this one? Think before you speak. Think it through. Don't just always say something. Look at the verses in James. What does the Bible say about the tongue? Not much good stuff. I like James. James, the whole gist of this is that if you can't control your tongue, you can't control other areas of your life. In other words, the key to self-control is learning to control what we say. James, chapter 3 there. For in many things we offend all. Now, that's not a life verse you should throw out there, okay? He's not saying that's the right thing to do. If any man offend not in word with his mouth, the same is a perfect man, mature, and able also to bridle the whole body, control. Like you would control a horse. And he gives illustrations there. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. That small little bit in that huge horse's mouth controls that whole horse. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hymn, whithersoever the governor listeth. Years ago, I went with some Navy guys back when I was a teenager in our church, and they were on the USS Peleliu. It's an aircraft carrier. And I'd never been on a ship like that. And that thing was huge. Like a huge city. And now it had a big rudder, but comparative to the rest of the ship, it was not that big. And here's that huge ship, a city on the sea. And that whole thing is controlled by that thing in the back there. That's what he's saying. And he's using that to talk about how our tongue controls our life. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, here's what God thinks, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Sounds to me like he doesn't have a good thought about the tongue. It can literally look. You mark it down. Someone that cannot control their tongue, they have issues in almost every area of their life. A person that's just always running their mouth, always this, always that, they're out of control in a whole bunch of different areas, and they're very susceptible to sin. So that's why we work on it. Number 21. We have 5 minutes. The foolish man possesses many undesirable qualities that the wise man would want to avoid. Okay? So what I'm saying, it's easier to describe a foolish man by his negative characteristics that he possesses. Why? He doesn't possess very many positive characteristics. What are some of these characteristics? A, he is unrighteous. The Bible says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, to do something you set out to do. But it is abomination of fools to depart from evil. Notice the picture there. When you have a goal or desire for something that's right and it takes effort, and you put the effort in and you do what you're supposed to do and you accomplish it, man, there's a satisfaction there. There's a sweetness to the soul. But for fools, abomination to fools to depart from evil. Abomination means to hate intensely. They don't want to get away from their sin. They have no desire whatsoever to get away from the things that they're doing wrong. They're unrighteous. That's why we need to be careful of them. That's why as Christians, and we, again, as we've mentioned many times, be careful who influences you. By the way, if you live right, you're not going to always be popular. See, that's what's wrong with Christians. I'm not saying we should purposely be unpopular. I'm not saying that. Sometimes Christians are unpopular because we're mean to people, we're unkind, we're just flat out rude. But realize this, no matter how nice you are, because of our stand and what we believe, unsaved people aren't going to like us. And see, what's wrong with Christianity is we're trying to be likable, and it doesn't work. Whatever we backpedal on what we believe to be likable, they're not going to say, oh, hey, they're trying to be likable. Let's cut them some slack. They're going to keep pushing us back. If you ever had to deal with a bully when you were a kid in school, the worst thing you could do is back off of them. Because now you had to back off of them every day. You might as well just go at it. If he's bigger than you, grab a stick and equalize it. But don't take it, because once you once he takes your lunch money one time, you're going to lose weight. And that's what we're doing as Christians. I don't want to be mean. You know, Christians, we love. Jesus is all about love. And they're like, keep going back, keep going back, keep going back. They don't like us. Why? They hate to get for evil. That's an abomination to them. We've talked much about it. Everything in our media is a mockery of Christianity. Traditional marriage is mocked. I don't care what anybody says. Man and woman, that's marriage, period. Or you could flip it. It could be woman and man. That's fine. It's only two options I see. They downgrade the family. Dad's a dodo. Mom's out saving the world, and the kids run the house. By the way, that's what happens. I mean, look, most families are run by that four-year-old. Anyhow, let's move on. Godless behavior is lifted up as normal. Yep. See, and if we don't walk in step with that, they come after us. We're the intolerant ones. I find it interesting. There was a man, his name was Dan Savage. I saw the video. About 4 years ago, he was in Seattle he was in a school. I don't know if it was a college or a high school. I believe it may have been a high school. And he was in college for an anti-bullying not chapel. They don't have chapel in high school. Assembly. He had an assembly to teach the kids we shouldn't bully other people. So as he got up in that assembly, he said, hey, you Christians, don't believe that blank in the Bible about homosexuality. And he swore. I saw the video. Not one of the Christian kids said anything, but a lot of them just quietly stood up and walked out. And guess what he did? He berated them. He did the thing he came to teach them not to do, he did right in front of them. But it was okay. No one cared. You know why? Because it was Christians. If he'd have done that with any other group, he'd have been crucified. The point is, they just don't like righteousness. Be kind, be nice, be loving, share the gospel, but stand your ground. Don't back up. Okay? So he's unrighteous. He is unrealistic. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. I mean, he's proud and haughty. He thinks he knows everything. You ever know somebody that just they're like the top dog? When I was at Bret Hart, elementary school. We went up to sixth grade. I had a buddy in fifth grade, Mike. I forget his last name. But Mike was the toughest guy in the school. So how'd you know that? He told me. He said it over and over. I'll never forget. One day we happened to be out when the sixth graders were out. And he bumped into this sixth grade girl who was quite a bit bigger than him. She grabbed him by his shirt. And I'm not kidding. Bap, 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 bap. About 30 times. You know what I found out? Two things. Number one, Mike was not that tough. And number two, every time I saw that girl, I went the other direction. She scared me to death. Girls mature faster than boys. She that was the best fight I ever saw, by the way. She just killed him. That's how a foolish person is. They know everything. You can't argue with them. No matter what, you can say this is white, they'll say it's just, that's how they are. They're proud and they're haughty and they're scorners. They're always right. They're unrealistic in their, particularly in the way they look at themselves. Okay? Letter C. He is undisciplined. He is undisciplined. And then there's several areas here. We already saw he's undisciplined. Just write them down. He's undisciplined with his money, and we looked at that. There's treasure to be desired in the oil of dwelling, but a foolish man spendeth it up. We see his undisciplined nature in the way he takes care of his finances. We've talked much about that. With his temper, a fool's wrath is presently known. When a fool is angry, you don't have to guess. They have no problem letting everybody in the world know. You see a couple out in public or whatever, and they're fighting just in front of God and everybody. No, look, if you want to fight, go around the corner. Argue. Go home and soundproof the room. Do whatever. Don't do it at Costco. Okay? I saw a fight one time at Costco. It was nowhere near as good as that sixth grade girl, though. She was great. I think she could beat Pacquiao. With his words. They're undisciplined with their words. The tongue of the wise useth knoweth the right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And then the last thing is this. He's unteachable. He's unteachable. They have no desire to learn at all. Proverbs 1, 29 to 32, we'll read these and we'll be done. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. It's almost like wisdom is speaking here. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They don't listen because they don't want to learn. And so I hope we don't have any of these characteristics in our life. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed.